Happy snowy Wednesday, Tappers. It is April 4th. Snow is on the ground here in the state of Wisconsin. How's everybody doing? Charlie here with you. Snowtap WI is where you can find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Snowtap WI. It is a website. Excited to talk to you this morning. Last daily tap for your boy until Monday of next week. We'll be tapping the keg tonight, so that will be Thursday's pod. And then I believe on Friday or Saturday, you will have the Desolate Tones of Mitch Ross doing a daily tap, recapping what's going on with the Brewers Cubs series, as well as maybe talking about what happens with the Bucks and Nets. On Thursday, I can't remember if he's doing it, which day he's doing it this week. Then I believe we'll have Nolan Murphy in the building doing it for Sunday post-Masters. I have to clear that up, but I believe producer Murph is going to take care of us there. So all of that, which is exciting, which is good stuff, I'm looking forward to hearing the boys do a little daily tap of their own. Like, it should be very exciting. I'm very pumped to have some different voices. You know, I'll be traveling here and there throughout the next, you know, next year. And they were like, because we have obviously a group chat that goes pretty strong. And they were like, so like, could you just take your stuff to Vegas? And I'm like, you know what? I would honestly love to take my laptop and computer to Vegas. But my computer is a hoss, first of all. Second of all, I don't know, because basically what would happen is I would just tell you, I didn't really watch this game last night. I'm really hungover. I smell like a stripper. Like, I can't really actually give you solid sports takes. So that's why they're taking over. That's why they're doing the damn thing. So I look forward to the boys getting that done. Mitch and I talk tonight about tapping the keg. That will be your Thursday entertainment. So look forward to that. All right, so special night in the state of Wisconsin. Another one of those nights where you get the Brewers and Bucks playing at the same time. For a while there, it looked like you may just get the Bucks on a victory, which was sufficient. I mean, the Bucks really do need a victory, and yeah, it kind of sucks if the Brewers lost two straight to the Cardinals after winning three in San Diego, but that did not happen. Rather, the Bucks didn't blow a late fourth quarter lead, and the Brewers came back to win the game with a back-to-back jacks from Christian Yelich and Ryan Braun to win the game. Are you kidding me? This team, something special is going on right now in Milwaukee, and it's early. It's early. You really want to try to rein in emotions and rein in special feelings. But when players like Travis Shaw tweeting that out, same with Yelich, they know too. They see it. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that the Brewers are playing with so much energy, so much emotion, and every game they have a chance to win it. And they got down 4-0 early on. I mean, it was a 4-0 game in the first three innings. You know, Tommy Pham actually had thrown out Manny Pena, so that was a part that preluded that 4-0 advantage. Chase Anderson, not great. Like, he gave up three home runs to Pham, Dexter Fowler, and Marcelo Ozuna, noted Brewer killer, who just loves hitting at Miller Park. And so it wasn't necessarily the greatest start, and another rough outing for starting pitching. Mitch and I tonight probably will talk first week observations, and I'm sure that'll be something we discuss, is that the Brewers starting pitching really hasn't come together. Now, I think you have to wait about four starts to really get a true opinion on the starting pitching. I've now become a podcast that I'm not here to worry. The reason I'm not going to worry is it's just not worth it. It's not worth it to worry about this at this certain point, at this juncture, because there's so much more baseball to be played. I want the Brewers to just keep winning. The starting pitching will figure itself out. If it doesn't, the Brewers are going to make a trade that they're going to make a deadline move. I mean, Anastasio already laid the chips on the table. If second base doesn't produce, the Brewers are going to make a deal again. Like, this team is all in, and I think fans know that. I hope they know that. That if this team is broken at some point in the season, David Stearns is going to fix it. He is going to figure out a way. It might not be exactly what you want. It might not be exactly what I want, but he's going to fix it. So that's encouraging. I think Brewers fans should feel good about that. And then the other thing that stood out to me about this game is for the second time in five games. So this is 40% of the Brewers games this season. They've had a never say die attitude about the game. Brewers were down three runs in the ninth, five run ninth to beat San Diego last Friday. Last night, they have back to back home runs with the last strike. I mean, Yelich could have struck out. Game could have been over. Could have just said, all right, well, that's it. Brewers got to avoid a sweep with Carlos Martinez on the mound and Julius Chacin, who is a very poor April pitcher, probably is not the greatest combination right there. Instead, Milwaukee gets a shot here to win the series against St. Louis, which would be an amazing feat, and get it done. And so I'm kind of in amazement. I think everybody's in. I think if you haven't bought into this Brewers season yet for some God knows reason, you've officially done it. I mean, the only reason I'm bummed out that I'm going to Vegas this weekend is because I won't get to watch Brewers Cubs. I just hope that I get a few trips down to the sports book to watch Brewers Cubs. Maybe that's something on the side for Master Sunday. I'll get to watch a little bit of Brewers Cubs because I feel like you have to. I feel like it's almost to the point of specialness that I have to put down a future bet for the Brewers to win the World Series, or at least to get to the World Series. I'll have to see what those are. Maybe Mitch and that's a podcast topic for Mitch and I about what future bets should I make while I'm in Vegas this weekend, because I feel like we need to make a couple snow tap bets just as a company here that might be one of them, because there's just something it's hard to describe, but this is different. It feels different. I watch the Brewers every year. This is every night. It feels like there's something worth watching. There's something worth coming to the ballpark. And Brewers Cubs is going to be absolutely electric. And now I think we're going to level set expectations, but you know, the Cubs are not really hitting the ball very well right now. The Cubs are kind of in a little bit of a rut. And now they've hit well at Miller Park in the past, and weird shit has happened against Chicago. But this is a new year. Things change. So the Brewers, I love the never say die attitude. And the never say die Brewers is a fun way to do baseball, because you can keep watching because you always think there's a chance that maybe they can win this game. And they definitely did that. And we'll see what they can do tonight against Carlos Martinez. Now, Carlos Martinez has been a complete stud at Miller Park. I don't need to really read you off his stats, but he's been absolutely phenomenal against the Brewers when it comes to Miller Park. He just has one of it's, I don't know, the Brewers have really struggled when it comes to that. I'm curious to see, because I'm doing this a little bit on the fly, but how Yelich and Kingen have done against Carlos Martinez. Carlos Martinez did get roughed up in his first start of the season. I mean, maybe that's how we really know if the Brewers are a dominant team, is if they are able to jump all over Martinez. So some interesting notes. Yelich is 4 for 8. Of course he is. He's 4 for 8 against Carlos Martinez. Not an entirely huge sample size. Kane's 2 for 4, so really not a big sample size. But you know, some guys have had some success against him. I'm not gonna talk myself into this, But, you know, Brian Braun, 7-for-27, not great. 10 strikeouts, which he probably gets the day off. Domingo Santana is 6-for-17, pretty good. Johnny VR is 8-for-23 with one home run. So I assume Travis Shaw, 3-for-8. Remember, Sean Thames had that big, big game against Martinez in April last year at Miller Park. So who knows? Maybe they can get it done, but this is a lot of fun. Also a lot of fun is when the Milwaukee Bucks close out basketball games and beat teams. Now, they should be the sixth seed in the East right now. They should be one game up on Miami, but we are not in Miami and Washington, but we're not looking at that. We're going to look at the fact that they won and they closed them out. And I think it's really important because you just played a game against Denver where you absolutely shit your pants and you completely fell apart down the stretch. Next night, you have a same situation. Boston, it's close. It's coming down to the wire, and you held your water and you won the game. That's really good. That's a really encouraging development. Now, could it be because Giannis was on the court and he is a calming influence? Mitch mentions all the time, a lot of Mitch shout outs today. Good day. Mitchy Wednesday, what shall we call it? He always mentions how Malcolm Brogdon is a calming influence and that having him back will really help this Bucks team just from a keeping your shit together sort of thing. Giannis does the same thing. Giannis definitely holds this team together. He is not only the best player, but he's the glue of this team. That being said, he being out on the court definitely keeps everybody's composure and making crazy blocks with under a minute left. It's going to give the team a little bit of an emotion, a spark. Chris Middleton also great last night, near triple double, looked fantastic. That Chris Middleton can win you a playoff series. If that Chris Middleton decides to show up in April, they can win their first round playoff series. That Chris Middleton has not been there for most of the season. And I think that's the frustrating thing about Chris Middleton is that he has that ability to be not only a scorer, but rebounder, assister. I mean, he nearly had a triple-double last night. I think he had 20, 10, and 9, something like that, or 29 and 8. I mean, that is what the Bucks want from Chris Middleton. And if Chris Middleton decides that's the player he wants to be, fine. If it took him till April, okay. I mean, it's a little frustrating, but at least he figured it out before the playoffs. I mean, this Bucks team, if this kind of, you had the vibe that this was like the playoffs because the bench got shorter. You saw less minutes from Jason Terry. Thank God, finally. Jabari Parker had 30 minutes off the bench. You saw a little bit from Sterling Brown, a little bit from Brandon Jennings. I mean, so the Bucks did shorten their bench tonight, and that's something that I think you do see in the playoffs, which I think helps the Bucks actually. I think like a team like Toronto, where it's a new guy every night, it hurts them. The fact that the Bucks actually looked a little more like a playoff roster last night was great and took advantage of a beat-up Boston team. I shouldn't say a bad Boston team, but a beat-up Boston team. It's a shell of what they'd be in the playoffs, but Milwaukee can compete with them. Milwaukee can make it a series for sure with them, especially without Kyrie Irving. So the Heat, Wizards, and Bucks are all deadlocked at 42 and 36. The Heat get the Atlanta Hawks tonight, so we'll see how they do versus the Hawks this evening. They nearly lost to them at home. This is a road game for them. And the Wizards, who are 6-8, who I didn't realize had a more brutal schedule than the Bucks do down the stretch, they have to play Cleveland on TNT tomorrow. Now, the Wizards have been actually pretty good against Cleveland this year. They match up well. But I feel like if Cleveland knows that maybe we could play these guys in the first round, that LeBron, who is a terrible matchup for the Wizards, is going to be out for blood, and he's going to kind of make a statement. So I think that if the Wizards do fall, Bucks do get the Nets on Thursday. Do not lose to the Nets, please. They can then vault into either the 6 or 7 spot if the Wizards do fall or the Heat somehow lose tonight to the Hawks. So we'll see what happens. This is going to be a race that goes down to the wire on Wednesday. The Bucks have 4 games left, I believe. Brooklyn, New York, Orlando, and Philadelphia. So that this will head down to the very wire. We'll see what the Bucks can do. All right, so we're pretty long. I mean, it was a pretty exciting night of Wisconsin topics. So a few rapid fire stuff before we ride out. Brandon Cooks traded to the Rams, so the Rams are just going to get every skill player. They are now the dream team, I guess. I've seen it not work for guys. I'm trying to figure out why the Rams are doing this. I'm trying to think what market inefficiency that they're taking advantage of. I mean, are they just seeing the fact that LA is in need of a team to just sort of revitalize their sports scene? Because, I mean, the Dodgers are there, and the Dodgers are great, but it's still baseball. And I don't think it has the same effect as if you have a very successful football team or a very successful basketball team. Basketball may be a year away because LeBron might be coming to the Lakers and all of a sudden it will be completely shifted to the Lakers. But for now, you could have the Rams being the thing. So now you have Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods, pretty solid receiving core. And Jared Goff has a lot to work with. I mean, there will be a lot of Jared Goff MVP hype. I don't know how a dream team does. Let's remember, too, the Rams will play a much more difficult schedule next year, being that they were a division winner versus being third or last the year prior. So just keep that in mind. I'm not ready to say that the Rams are a Super Bowl contender. They are. They're a Super Bowl contender, but I'm not ready to say they are the Super Bowl contender. So let's all just take it easy. Giancarlo, don't call me Mike. Stanton gets booed at Yankee Stadium. Strikes out 5 times. I mean, it was really fucking cold in New York. And he strikes out 5 times. And Yankee fans are just, again, the goddamn worst. They get the best player, one of the best players in baseball. He has a rough opening day, probably a little nervous, and the fans boo his ass. They are just goddamn awful sometimes. They, Yankee fans just absolutely suck. So the more drama you have around Stanton, the better. Feed me that. Some quick Masters thoughts, because I don't know if Mitch and I are going to talk about it tonight. So I'll give you a few. I think this has a chance to be one of the best Masters in recent memory. I think we may be setting ourselves up for disappointment, but there's so many different storylines to attack it from. There's so many golfers that can win this tournament. I guess Tiger Woods is my favorite. I think the guy who's going to win it, but he's the guy that I'd love to see win it. I mean, the story would be incredible. Being a Tiger guy, it would be fantastic. I think that is going to win it. Oh man, I don't know. I've talked myself into Jordan Spieth only because I said to myself, well, Spieth, you know, didn't necessarily putt well, and then he started to figure it out in Houston, and he's such a assassin on this Augusta course that he could win it. I could see a guy like Dustin Johnson or Hideki Matsuyama coming out of nowhere and taking this thing because no one's talking about Dustin Johnson right now. Dustin Johnson, remember last year, had so much hype, and then he hurts his back. He has to withdraw from the Masters, so there's all this redemption angle for him, and he really hasn't been playing that good of golf. He's the one guy who's kind of hanging out there. He's kind of lurking in the weeds. And we'll see. I mean, then there's Rory, who hasn't won the Masters, who plays the Masters well, and can he get it done? I think to Phil Mickelson, it will be right there because Phil's playing unreal golf. He wants one more Masters. I think what he really wants is wants a U.S. Open, but Phil can get it done. It's going to be a spectacle. It's going to be awesome. We're going to all be upset that we can't get enough Masters coverage this weekend. I think it's something that when we're in Vegas, I have some friends of mine who are very big golf fans. I think my strategy betting wise, and we'll talk a little bit tonight. I've promised a lot in this Tapping the Keg, by the way, but my strategy, I think, is going to be if there is a premier golfer who is 1 over, 2 over Thursday night, and all of a sudden their odds have suddenly risen a little bit, I'm going to jump all over that, and I'm going to take advantage of it. And it could be wrong, but if that guy comes back to win, well, we're cashing tickets Thursday or Sunday night. So there is that. All right, like I said a couple times, few times, maybe too many times, Tap the Keg tonight. Look forward to that. Stone Tap WI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, subscribe, iTunes, Google Play. We will talk on the Daily Tap next Monday whenever I recover from probably a couple day hangover, because I will be getting in late. So the podcast probably goes up a little later on Monday. So just be aware of that. And we will talk then. Okay, Tappers, take care. Have a good rest of the week. See ya.